watching us, I thank you. Amen. And our senior pastor, Pastor Jackson, I thank him for the vision that he had for Brookland and being the under-shepherd of this place. Amen. Amen. But there is a word from God. If y'all don't mind, this thing's wrong. Mark chapter 8, verse 22. I'll be pulling from the New Living Translation because I believe this one speaks exactly what the message that we're trying to drive home today. Mark chapter 8. Is it okay if we talk about the two-touch miracle just for a little while this morning? Mark chapter 8. Don't look at the screens, amen, amen, amen. And it reads as such, it says, when they arrived at Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus, and they begged him to touch the man and heal him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village, then spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hand on him and he asked, can you see anything now? The man looked around. Yes, he said, I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around. Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were open. His sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. Jesus sent him away, saying, don't go back into the village on your way home. Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were open. His sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were open. His sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. I'm going to turn to your neighbor, kind of God, turn to your neighbor and say, I can see clearly now. Amen. I can see clearly now. That neighbor may be looking a little bit blurry, but I believe at the end of this message, you're going to see him clearly. If you didn't like that neighbor, turn to the other one and say, I can see clearly now. Amen. God, we thank you. God, I thank you and I praise you. Already out of the way. I'm out of the way, God. Holy Spirit, have your way right now in this place. Send your word, God. Send your word, God. Send your word for your people right now in the name of Jesus, God. Heavenly Father, that we can open up the blind eyes today, God. Heavenly Father, move mightily right now. Before I close this prayer, God, I pray for my Panthers, God. I pray that they beat the 49ers. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 It's okay to laugh at church. I promise you it's okay. Amen. Amen. Then Jesus placed his hands on this man's eyes again, and they were open. And he was completely restored. And he said, I can see everything clearly. I can see clearly now. But then Jesus placed his hands on this man's eyes again. If you understand anything about the Bible, or if you've ever read the Bible just a little bit, or even listened to the Bible just a little bit, you don't hear about Jesus touching somebody twice. You don't hear about Jesus touching somebody twice. Anytime you read the Bible, anytime you see in the Word of God, that when Jesus touches somebody with this first time, they are healed from the initial touch. If you don't believe it, let's look at the woman with the issue. She knew that there was enough power in Jesus' hem that if she could just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, she would be made whole. That when Jesus touched the man with the deaf ears, he touched him once and the man could hear. So why, Mark, why would you write about a two-touch miracle. Why would you talk about Jesus touching a man a second time? To understand the book of Mark, Mark is the writer that Jesus is always moving throughout the book of Mark. Jesus is always on the move. He's on the go. He uses words like immediately, straightway. And Mark also was the only one that skipped the birth of Jesus. Mark went straight to full-grown Jesus. Mark did not discuss the birth of the little baby boy from the virgin birth. Mark, the mover Jesus, Mark. But now we see Jesus in Mark chapter 8, and it says that when Jesus arrived to Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus, and they begged him to touch the man and heal him. Is it okay if I teach it for a minute? The Bible says that some people brought a blind man. Some people brought a blind man to Jesus, and they begged him to touch this man. And that's one of the things about being blind. If you're blind, you have to be brought. If you're blind, you have to be brought. One thing that tickles me about us Christians when we say that I found Jesus. I found Jesus. When Jesus entered into my heart, I found Jesus. But can I tell you something? You ain't find anything. Because if you were blind, you can't find anything. Jesus found you. Is it okay if I teach it for a minute? Is it okay if I teach it for a minute? That this man was blind, and because he was blind, one of the byproducts of being blind is that he was vulnerable. He was vulnerable. He was vulnerable to the voices of the people. This blind man was vulnerable to the voices of the people. They could tell this man that he had pink hair, and he had to believe it. They could tell him his elbows were ashy, and he had to believe it. They could tell him that he was dumb and he didn't have to believe it. They could tell him that he didn't know anything, but he would have to believe it because he was blind. And because he was blind, he was vulnerable to the voices of the people. Somebody missed it. Some of you living in the blind state of your life right now, so you're vulnerable to the voices of the people. They're telling you that you can't make it. And you're believing them because you are blind and you're vulnerable to the voices of the people. Some people, they brought a blind man to Jesus, this vulnerable man. But see, that's where faith starts, and that's where grace starts. That some people brought the blind man. The healing began when they brought this man. They knew that if they could get this man to Jesus, that everything would be all right. See, that's what grace does. That I may have be going through a tough situation right now, but if I could just get to Jesus, everything is going to be all right. If it's okay if I teach it. Some people brought this blind man to Jesus, and he was vulnerable to the voice of the people, and they begged Jesus to touch him and heal him. And then the Bible tells us that Jesus took this blind man, the vulnerable blind man. They begged him to touch the blind man. Jesus took the blind man. But look what the Bible says. Jesus didn't take him and touch his eyes. He took him by his hand. Why now, God, would you take this blind man by his hand? I told you blind people needed to be brought. So when they brought this blind man to Jesus, he took this man by the hand and he led him out of the village. He took this man by the hand and he led him out of the village. I'm glad Jesus did this because it brought me to my first point, that your surroundings affect your sight. Your surroundings affect your sight. Jesus took this man by the hand, and he led him out of the village because I need some one-on-one time with this man. And see, that's where faith begins. That this vulnerable blind man, he allowed Jesus to take him by his hand and lead him out of the village. He says, God, I'm going to trust you in this blind state, that wherever you take me, God, I'm willing to follow. That wherever you're leading me, God, I'm going to take surroundings were affecting his sight. The surroundings were affecting his sight. And not only were the surroundings, Jesus understood that I can't give you new eyes in the old village. I can't give you new eyes in your old surroundings. What good are new eyes if you're going to stay in the same place? What good is coming to church, serving God, living a life for Christ, and on Monday you do the same thing that you did before? Oh my God, Holy Spirit, give me 10 seconds. 10 seconds. What good are new eyes if you're going back to your old surroundings? Oh my God, it gets you out of the village. Out of the village. And the other reason Jesus had to get him out of the village, because this village was Bethsaida. This village was Bethsaida. If you want to take a flight or take a trip, and we're going to Israel next year, I pray we don't go to Bethsaida. Why, Travis? Why don't we need to go to Bethsaida? Because Jesus rebuked Bethsaida. Jesus did not like Bethsaida. How do you know that? Matthew chapter 11. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 11, it says that then Jesus began to denounce the cities. And Jesus began to denounce the towns where he had done so many miracles. But because they hadn't repented of their sins and turned to God. And then he goes on to say, Jesus says, what sorrow awaits you, Chorazin and Bethsaida. For if the miracles I did in you had been done in wicked Tyre and Sidon, their people would have repented of their sins long ago, clothing themselves with burlap and throwing ashes on their heads to show their remorse. I tell you, Tyre and Sidon will be better off than you on judgment day. Bethsaida, I have to get you out of the village, because your village affects your vision. Your surroundings affect your sight. And Jesus took this man and he says, I know that they told you your hair was blonde, but your hair is black. I know they told you that you wouldn't amount to anything, but you are greater because I'm in you. You are the head and not the tail. You are the lender and not the borrower. That's a word for somebody in this place. Somebody's told you that you're dumb, but you're not dumb. Somebody told you that you wouldn't make it, but yes, God, you will make it. All you have to do is step out on faith and allow God to move you out of your surroundings. How many of you know that God can't give you new eyes and you go back to the old place with the negative people? Is it anybody like me that has this going on in their life, that this one person always tends to light up the room when they leave? This one person tends to always light up the room when they leave. Negative people. How can I give you new eyes and you go back to negative people? I'm reminded of a time that when I was going to Las Vegas, I'm in the military, we do temporary duty a lot in Las Vegas. We train a lot in Las Vegas. And I had a brand new airman coming up to me, and it was so excited. Sergeant Smith, we're going to Vegas. Yeah, we're going to Vegas. Okay. So we get on the plane, and we fly from Virginia to Las Vegas. And we land in Vegas, and if you've ever been to McCarran Airport, there are slot machines in the airport. There's slot machines in the airport. As soon as this kid gets off of the plane, he runs to the slot machine, forget my bags, I'm going to sit, and I'm going to pull the slots, and they were so excited. So there's no slot machines. Me, they got those at the 7-Eleven. You don't play slots at the 7-Eleven, man. So we move on, we leave the airport, and we're going to Vegas. If you've ever been to Vegas, Vegas is a bright city that never sleeps. And we're walking down the main strip of Vegas, and there's this hotel called the Paris Hotel, and on the top of the hotel is, somebody been there? Somebody been to the Paris Hotel. Amen. Well, on top of the Paris Hotel is the Eiffel Tower. And this airman is walking beside me. Sergeant Smith, it's the Eiffel Tower. I said, that ain't even the real one. That's not the real Eiffel Tower. It ain't even tall enough. You can't even go up in that thing, man. Negative people. And then outside of the hotel, the water's dancing back and forth to the music. Beautiful sight. You see the lights and he's recording. Sergeant Smith, you see this water? I said, it's on the tower. Negative people. Negative. I'm tired. I've been to Vegas almost 20 times. So I've seen the water. I've seen the Paris Hotel. I've seen these these slot machines, negative people. And by the time we left Vegas, this kid didn't even like it. But negative people, he had new eyes. Never been to Vegas, but he was around some negative verbiage and some negative talk. And the kid left Vegas and didn't even like it. Didn't want to go back anymore. How can I give you new eyes and send you back to the negative environment? Your surroundings affect your sight. Within the Bible, we're always back to the Bible. And Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And Jesus does something that we deem just very inappropriate. The Bible says that in spitting on this man's eyes, spitting on the man's eyes. And if you ever read the Bible again, even been to Sunday school one day, you know that this isn't the first time that Jesus spit on somebody. Jesus was a serial spitter. Jesus was a serial spitter. He, in Mark chapter 7, you see Jesus spitting on this man that was deaf, give him a wet willy, the man can hear. And in John chapter 9, Jesus spit on the ground and does something so gangster. He makes a mud puddle and he put it on the man's eyes, and Jesus, the hood of Jesus came out. He said, "Now walk away, wash your face, and come back and tell me what you saw." Spitting on this man. Spitting on the man. We say spit. I heard one of the babies say spit. Ew. That's how we take it. Spit. Ooh. Spit. Ooh. Jesus, why you always got to go spitting on people? But I've also found it in my studies that we read the Bible and we study the Bible, but we don't understand spit. We read the Bible and we don't know spit. S-P-I-T. We read the Bible and we don't understand spit. Amen. Can I teach it like I want to? Can I teach it like I want to? Now Jesus spit on this man, but was Jesus being mean, or was Jesus being nasty, or was he being compassionate? Can I teach it like I want to? Jesus was being compassionate because during this time, in the context of which this was written, the people believed, they were taught by the rabbis, that there was healing in the spit. That there was healing in the spit, that the spit from the firstborn, that it was used for medicinal uses, that if you spit on somebody, that they would be healed. So Jesus was being compassionate to this blind man. He took this blind man out of the village because the surroundings affected his sight, and then he spit on this man because he was saying, "I understand what you believe, but I'm going to meet you where you are." Jesus spit on this man because he understood that this man thought that there was healing in the spit. So Jesus said, "I'm going to meet you right where you are." And I stopped by to tell you today that somebody, Jesus is going to meet you in your belief system. Jesus is going to meet you right where you are. You may believe that healing is in marijuana, alcohol, and Jesus said that healing is not in alcohol or marijuana. The healing is in me. I am Jehovah Rapha. I'm going to meet you where you are. He was being compassionate, and the Bible says that Jesus spit on this man, and he touched him. And then Jesus does something he tends to do often. He asks a question. How many of you know that Jesus doesn't ask the question for himself? He's asking it for you. He says to the man, "Can you see anything?" The Messiah sounded like a magician. Is this your card? "Can you see anything?" And the man said, he looked around, he says, "Yes, I can see people, but I can't see them clearly." What are you saying, Travis? That this man, Jesus asked this man, could he see anything? Because he wanted to see if he's going to be honest about his current situation. This man could have easily said that he's touched everybody one time and they've been healed. And Jesus touched my eyes, and Jesus said, "Can you see anything?" "Yes, God, I can see. I can see." And this man still, and knowing in his mind he was still living in a blurry situation. But this man was honest enough to say, "Jesus, I can see him, but I can't see clearly yet." Blurry situations. Some of you right now are living in some blurry situations. Yes, you've been touched by God, but right now you're trying to figure out life. Should I marry him? Should I marry her? The situation is blurry. God, he looks good, tall, dark, bald-headed, and handsome, but that credit score, Jesus,
the credit score. Do I make $2 million? Do I quit my job, God? I'm seeing signs. I don't like my boss. Do I quit my job? Do I start my own business? Blurry situations. Blurry situations. God, I know you touched me, but I can't see clearly. Blurry. They're blinking their eyes, and it's trying to see. And the man was honest with God. He says, God, I know you touched me, but it's blurry. And that takes me to my next point, that there is a blessing in your blurriness. There is a blessing in your blurriness, because if this man wasn't honest about his current situation, Jesus wouldn't have touched him again. Jesus wouldn't have touched him a second time if he wasn't honest about his blurry situation. And there's one thing you have to understand about blurry, that if the picture is blurry, we tend to do this. If the pixels hadn't loaded yet, we tend to lean in. Somebody missed it. Somebody missed it. That God is saying, I put you in a blurry situation because I need you to just lean in on me just a little bit. I put you through the blurry situation because I'm waiting for you to just lean and depend on me. Blurry situation. The blessing is in the blurriness because I got to lean. Oh, God, I'm going to lean on you. I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to trust you through the blurry situations, God. I'm going to lean in on you, Jesus, because, God, I need that second touch from the Master's hand. Blurry situations. But the blessing was in the blurriness. The blessing is in your honesty. This could also have been taught or preached from a different context, because we're talking about blurry situations. Right before Jesus got to Bethsaida, there was a discussion on the boat. See it for yourself right above this verse here. There was a discussion. The disciples had one loaf of bread. And they were trying to figure out, where in the world are we going to get enough to eat? And Jesus looks at the disciples and he says, you have ears, but you don't hear. You have eyes, but you can't see. When I fed the 5,000, how many loaves were left over? They said 12 baskets. When I fed the 4,000, how many baskets were left over? They said 7,000. Jesus said, now how many of them are you? They said 12. He said, what's the problem? Blurry situations. Do you not understand? And God has worked some miracles in some of your lives, and you still don't understand that he's a way maker. He's a miracle worker. He is Jehovah Rapha. Yeah, you may be down with your finances, but God is still able. He is a provider, Jehovah Jireh. God, I'm going to lean and depend on you. Blurry situations. God, I'm going to lean in. Blurry situations. But then we move on in the Word. And he says, yes, I can see people, but I can't see them. They look like trees. Wait, what? Huh? You see people. They look like trees. How do you know what trees look like? How do you know what trees look like? You just got your sight. How do you know what trees look like? This is not a story of a man receiving his sight. This is the story of a man's sight being restored. This man had his sight before. I don't know when he lost it. Maybe after he saw some trees. I don't know. But this man says, I see people. They look like trees. Are you smoking trees? Restoration. I see people. They look like trees walking around. And then the Bible says Jesus touched him and he said, I can see clearly now. I can see clearly now. If it's okay, I'm going to go ahead and bring this thing on home. This is not only a story of restoration. This is a story of humanity. That Jesus took this man. This man went from sight to blind. From blind to blurry. From blurry back to sight. Sight to blind. Blind to blurry. Blurry back to sight. Come on, do something. I feel a mixtape coming on. Sight to blind. Blind to blurry. Blurry. Back to sight. Hey. Sight to blind. Blind to blurry. Blurry. Back to sight. Come on. Sight to blind. Blind to blurry. Blurry. Before I close, come here, Adam. Come here, Eve. God created Adam and Eve with perfect sight. He said that he created them perfect in his image. And they went from perfect sight, Adam and Eve, that was. And then they had an encounter with this tree. I see people. They look like trees. Adam and Eve had this encounter with the tree, and they ate from the tree, and sin entered into the world. And when sin entered into the world, they became blind. Sin blinded them. The Bible tells us that the God of this world comes to blind the people. Adam and Eve went from full sight, perfect sight. Sin entered the world, and when sin entered the world, they became blind. And they became ashamed of who they were. They became blind and they began to roam the earth. And while they were roaming the earth, they were waiting for the Redeemer and the Savior to come. That was the blurry situation. Yes, Moses led the people out of Egypt. Yes, Jonah got out of the belly of the whale. Yes, David slayed Goliath. But it was blurry because we were waiting for the Redeemer to come. And how many of you know that on that one glad night in Bethlehem, Jesus came on to the scene. And John says that, lo, behold, the Lamb of God had come to take on the sins of the world. And I'm stuck by the tongue of God. Jesus marched up to this man.